be in church on a Monday night.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
Lord, I am excited about seeing what the Lord's going to do. There's a good spirit here. And I like that. I like that. And take your Bible tonight and open it to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. For those that I didn't get a chance to shake hands with tonight or even yesterday, my name is Dave Spurgeon, and I'm an evangelist. And I come here by way of Staten Island, New York. You've got some fans in New York City. And they are very, very dear friends of mine. And everything Brother Veach told me about this church is true. So far, I mean, you know, it's only Monday, but so far so good. Amen. And praise the Lord, it's a real privilege to be here. Again, my wife sends her best. She regrets she wasn't able to be here. And the reason she's not here is because our daughter delivered 5.5 weeks early. But everything's going well there. And my little 5-pound grandson was in church last night, which is significant because he came home from the hospital yesterday morning. So that's the way we like to do it. So let me give you this right here before we start. There was a pastor. I preach for a lot of pastors. It's a privilege to be an evangelist, and I get to, let me say it like this, rub shoulders with the cream of the crop. I love what I do. I know some great men of God that encourage and inspire me. And so here's a story about one of them. It says this pastor was known for preaching kind of long. Nobody that we would know, I don't think. But a pastor was known for preaching kind of long, and some of his people made some comments to his wife. And so she told her husband about it, and they wanted to be a blessing. So they tried to come up with a plan that might help him from just going on and on and on and on and on. You know, like some preachers do. I don't know who. It could be anybody. But so they decided this. They figured out a plan. He would keep a mint in his pocket, and when he started preaching, he put the mint in his mouth, and he would preach, and then when the mint started to really start to dissolve and be almost gone, well, he knew it was time to wrap it up. And that's how he kind of gauged it, and that went really well for weeks and weeks. And then one morning, he got to preaching and preached for 45 minutes, an hour and a half, and people were noticeably getting a little uncomfortable again, looking around. And his wife went to him after and said, honey, what happened with the plan? He goes, I don't know. I guess it was a button I put. But, man. Say, why do you say things like that? And I don't even know if you call it telling jokes. Let me tell you something. If there's something that I see traveling around this country, I see children of God that take themselves way more seriously than they should. When, like Brother Billy said, the thing that needs to be taken seriously is the Word of God. The person that needs to be taken seriously is the Lord Jesus Christ. So we just kind of ease in like that, and if you don't like that, well, too bad, I guess, because it's done, but...
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Matthew chapter 14 tonight, and let's begin reading in verse 22. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. And so would you. Yeah, okay. All right. At verse 27, but straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And don't be too hard on Peter, he's a Jew. And the Bible says a Jew requires a sign. So this is not a character. He's not being disrespectful at this time. I mean, that's just how it was for them. And so the Lord knew that. He didn't rebuke him. That comes later. We'll get there. And so it says in verse 29, he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. So you got two men in the water. People say, do you really believe that Jesus walked on the water? I really believe Peter walked on the water.
Say what? Because the Bible says so.
Yeah.
Man, I ain't been saved very long, and I got a car wreck. It wasn't my fault that time. And here I am with the insurance guy, some insurance guy. And I told him, you know, that I was a Christian and I'd gotten saved in jail. And I'm a Christian too. And he named his denomination, you know. And like I said, I hadn't been saved very long. And he's trying to find some common ground to talk to me on the Christian level or plane or whatever. And he said, did you hear that they have found evidence, some overhead, maybe a satellite? They believe they may be able to prove that Noah's Ark really, really was true. And I looked at him, I said, Noah's Ark really was true.
Yeah.
We don't need Discovery Channel to tell us that. We don't need a GPS or a government committee. I mean, that's what people say. They'll look at that Bible and then they'll wait for evidence. Listen, why don't you just believe the Bible?
Amen.
That works for me. Somebody said, and John was preaching in jail one time, they said, well, how do you explain this and how do you explain that? And I looked at him, I said, it never occurred to me to try to explain it. I said, if I could explain everything in that Bible, wouldn't that mean that it was written by somebody no smarter than me?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
That's scary thought right there.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you what, we talk about the Bible correctors, that's what people do. They get so infatuated with themselves that if they can't understand what's going on, well, they just change what's going on.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen. Boy, I tell you what, God didn't put me with that crowd. Say, yeah, you wouldn't have fit in with them. I not only wouldn't have fit in with them, I wouldn't have hung out with them. And I'd still be saved, but there ain't no telling where I'd be tonight. But because God saw fit to put me in a church that believes the King James Bible is the inspired, inerrant Word of God, amen, 22 years later, I'm still in church.
Amen.
Because it's all about Him.
Yes, right.
Amen. Okay, I don't know where we were, but we'll find out and pick it up. And now we got Jesus on the water and Peter walking on the water in verse 29, stepped out by faith. Notice this. None of the other disciples said anything. None of the other disciples stepped out, even wanted to. Even after they saw Peter walking on the water, still none of them said a word. Of course, they're kind of used to Peter, you know, being the one to, you know, they're checking him out. But, hey, listen, we've got a record here in the Bible. Only Peter stepped out by what? By faith?
That's right.
I'll tell you what, if you're saved tonight, you stepped out on the sea of life by faith.
That's right.
Amen.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people still in the boat, and they're checking you out, and they're watching, and they're seeing you walk by faith, but they haven't stepped out yet.
Amen.
I'll tell you what, you don't want this to happen right here because this will cause them to doubt. Look in the next verse. It says in verse 30, but when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. Hey, he stepped out right. He stepped out by faith like we do. And he was doing fine because I guarantee you, when he climbed down outside that boat and started heading to Jesus Christ, that's where his eyes were, that's what he saw, that's who he was focused on, and he was doing just fine.
Amen. All right.
That works for you and I tonight.
Yeah, that's right.
But the truth of the matter is, like Peter, we're susceptible to getting our eyes off the Lord and on circumstances going on around us. That's what it says. It says that when he saw the wind boisterous, I'm going to tell you something, in this age that we live in, the wind is boisterous out there. And it causes us sometimes to fear. And the Bible said he was afraid and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. I tell you what's not typical about Peter and many, many Christians that I deal with year in and year out in this day and age. The Bible says when Peter was beginning to sink, he cried out. I mean, when his ankles got wet, he knew there was a problem.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen. And he addressed it, and he cried out, and he cried out to the wrong one. He didn't turn around and say, hey, boy, show me a life preserver.
That's right.
He didn't call back to the men in the ship. Amen. Bible says he cried, Lord, save me. He did not. This is not a salvation passage.
Yeah.
He's talking about, he's asking the Lord to save his life. Amen. Because it's right. What are you saying about not typical? Listen, I keep dealing with people that not only do they not cry out to the Lord when they're beginning to sink, too often times we go down for the third time, take in three lungfuls full of seawater before we come to the throne of God and say, God, I tried everything else. Would you help me? And I wonder what the Lord thinks about us going to Him as a last resort when He set this thing up for, if you're a child of God, He set this thing up for you to go to Him as a first resort.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen. It says, He cried, Lord, save me. You know what? I don't know how far apart they were, but I know that it said He cried. I mean, I think He was in fear. I don't know how far Jesus was away when they had this conversation. It doesn't say, but he didn't insinuate that when he began to think, he lunged into Jesus' open arms. He cried, man. He was afraid. He was fearful. So here's what it says in verse 31. And immediately, Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him. Again, I don't know how far apart they were, but I know this, the Lord was within arm's reach. The Bible says immediately He stretched forth His hand and caught him. And then He said to him, O thou little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? I tell you what, I think Peter was so glad to be safe in the arms of Jesus Christ and no longer sinking and sound and safe. I don't even think he minded the reproof one bit.
That's right.
Amen. They just, Lord, you're right, you're right. Man, I see people all the time, man. You try to correct them from the pulpit. You try to give them a little hint that they're starting to head down the right track. They get mad at you.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't think Peter got mad. I think Peter, I'll tell you what, we'd do well to be more like Peter in a lot of ways.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. All right. So, and then it says this in verse 32 and 33. I'll pray and try to preach sometime here tonight. And when they were come into the ship, amen, the wind ceased, and not before. The storm was, the wind was still boisterous while Peter's out there in the arms. I don't think he even minded. It didn't matter what was going on around him because he got his focus back on the Lord. And then it says, when they came into the ship, when they were coming to the ship, then the wind ceased. It says that, then they that were in the ship came and worshiped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God.
Amen.
See, there's people, they watch this whole thing, and, the Bible records that, after all that transpired, then they came to the Lord. They worshiped Him. They knew who He was. Boy, everybody, they know who He is, all right.
Yeah.
Well, they need to know who He is right there.
Yeah, that's right. Amen.
And so I'm going to preach to you tonight on this thought right here, within arm's reach. Within arm's reach. Again, I don't know how far apart they were, but boy, when Peter called, the Lord was right there.
Amen.
Right there. Let's pray. Father, I do come to you again. And thank you for your goodness and grace. Thank you for the privilege to stand here with your infallible book. And God, I am under no misconception tonight that if anything goes right, it's going to have to be by your grace and goodness. And you're graceful and you're so good. And we expect great things tonight. And we're asking you to move in our midst and speak to hearts and do what only you can do. And I pray and ask God that you just give me wisdom, the ability not to just waste everybody's time and say something stupid and things like that. May you be pleased and glorified. And God, if there's somebody in here tonight that doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, I pray you make it easy for them to see that that's the main thing. And at the end of the day, nothing else is going to matter if they're not born again. So, Father, thank you again. I can't help but be mindful and remembering the man that came out of his comfort zone and came down to jail 22 years ago and probably told the least likely candidate in the world that he needed to get saved. But I did, and I'm glad I did. And it's all because of Calvary, like we sang about. It's good to be redeemed. It's good to be pardoned. And it's good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. We pray and ask, Lord God, just meet with us in a mighty way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, within arm's reach now, let me tell you something here. We know some things like this right here. The Bible says God is no respecter of person.
Amen.
God is, aren't you glad? Man, I'll tell you what, I'm glad of that. And but I'm going to tell you something else. Neither is the devil.
Amen.
The Lord made that clear to Peter. Amen. He desires to have you, sift you as wheat. He wasn't impressed with his victories, wasn't impressed with his pedigree. Amen. The devil's no respecter of persons either. Amen. And then the Bible says, and as it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment, let me say to you that death is no respecter of persons either. You can be saved, amen. And you know, one of these days, unless the Lord comes, and He might tonight, I hope He does. Everybody in here has got an appointment, and truth of the matter is, for some of us, it'll might be the first appointment you are never late for, but you're not going to be late for that one.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you something else. No respecter of person tonight. Let me tell you something else that's within arm's reach of everybody in here, and that's sin.
Yes, right.
See, listen, saved? Okay, I'm glad you're saved. Secure, name in the book of life, all that. Praise the Lord. I appreciate the fact here. Obviously, you're in church here on a Monday night. Glory to God. But I'm going to tell you what, you better keep your guard up. That Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, has a roaring lion walking about, seeking whom he may devour. And I got news for you tonight. The Bible said the gates of hell shall not prevail, but it doesn't mean they're not trying. Listen, we need to be mindful tonight that sin is still within reach of every one of us in here tonight. And the evidence of that is there are churches all across the country where there's people that believe that book and their name is in the book of life, and they're nowhere near where they should be to God because they let their guard down and they took some things for granted and some things crept in and they're gone. Say, why do you preach like that? So you don't end up being one of those statistics. Hey, I'm preaching to myself tonight. I know preachers that aren't in the pulpits anymore because sin got in, because they let their guard down. Beloved, tonight, sin's no respecter of persons. The word shows up first time in Genesis chapter 4. And in verse 7 it said, if thou doest well, shall thou not be accepted? You got the Lord talking to Cain. And it says, if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door.
That's right.
That's pretty close.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen. Let me tell you something tonight. Sin lieth at the door of the jailhouse.
Yeah.
Amen. Listen, one of the best ministries, or maybe the best revival going on in my experience, is in the prisons, in the juvenile detention centers. I said it yesterday. You don't have to spend a half hour convincing them they're sinners. You're already at square one. They know they're sinners. You can just go right ahead and tell them about Jesus. But here's what you don't have: a real good turnout of fruit. You don't have a lot of them coming to church. Even I believe a lot of them really get saved. And some of them are get involved in the penitentiary. But so many times, I tell them, I said, listen, when you get out of here, you need to get in a church that believes that book.
Yeah, that's right.
Because if you don't, you're coming back.
That's right.
Oh, no, not me. And I've seen it happen over and over and over again. And if I go to a church and they have a thriving jail ministry like our home church does now, praise the Lord, man, I'm not required. But if I go places, one guy, every faithfully going to the jail every week, and I'll say, hey, man, let me go with you.
Yeah.
And if I can get cleared, and sometimes I can, and sometimes I can't. Sometimes every flag in the computer goes up. Well, yeah, this guy's a federal convicted felon. We're not letting him in here. And they say, oh, I thought. I said, don't worry about it. If God shuts the door, don't worry about it. If God opens the door, then we'll go in. Amen. It isn't me that anybody needs. It's Jesus Christ everybody needs. Amen. So I went with a guy one time, and we had some guys get saved. This guy's been faithfully at it for a while, and I mean years. And we had some guys get saved. They responded to the invitation. Amen. Say, you think they really did? I don't know. I don't know if you really did. But I got a pretty good opinion that some of them might have. I know it wouldn't be God's fault if they didn't.
Yeah, that's right.
So I was kind of excited. It excites me. I like that when people pray. I'm not getting real skeptical. I say, well, they probably didn't just say everything just right. Man, I'll tell you what, I guarantee you, whatever it was I said in that jail cell that day probably wasn't exactly right, you know.
Amen.
Guy said, he was a little discouraged, and he said, you know, none of them guys ever come to church. You know, and I can tell by his tone, you know, I'm listening, you know. And He says, Brother Spurgeon, I've been at this for years and years, and boy, we see people get saved every week, but we tell them they need to come to church, and then almost nobody ever comes to church, and if they come to church, they don't last very long. And then the guy says it, man. He says, Brother, you think any of them guys ever really, really get saved in jail? I looked at him, I said, is that like the stupidest thing you could have ever asked me? I mean, come on. Amen. But truth of the matter is, I tell you why a lot of guys don't make it. Now, they're going to make it to heaven if they put their faith in Christ. But why they don't make it as Christians, they don't get in church like they promise. Every one of them promises they're going to. And they should, and I believe they mean it with the best intentions. But sin lieth at the door. Some of them here, they get out of jail. Let's say it like this. Like me, I made bond on Friday night. Boy, there's a guy there, and boy, he's got a bag of dope. He's got a pack of cigarettes. He's got a bottle of liquor. And I tell you, and I said, I'm going to stay 3 weeks, okay? And I said, no. I'm amazed myself. Now it's Friday night and Sunday morning. I went to church. I didn't even know where Beaver Creek, Ohio was the church where the guy they came to the jail. I never even heard of it. I lived in Dayton. I rode a motorcycle gang 15 years. I go, where's that, you know? But I went to church that day. But you know what happens? A lot of guys don't. Sin lie at that door. They get picked up by girlfriend. They get picked up by old friends. And I'm talking about some of them guys who really get saved by between Friday night and Sunday morning. They've done some things, and they're so ashamed of themselves. And the FBI couldn't find him with a warrant. Sin lieth at the door, it said. But I'm going to tell you something. Maybe you can't relate to that, but you can relate to this. Sin lieth at the door of your house. You know, when I was a kid growing up in northern Ohio, we lived out in a farm country, and I'll tell you what, in the summertime, when school was out, there wasn't no sitting around the house, man. And we didn't have video games. We got a generation of idiots these days, amen. But we didn't have all that stuff. And if that offended you, you probably need to get right with God. If you thought it was funny, then praise the Lord, you know. But I would tell you what, my mom, she just stand at the door, you know, it's out, man. I'd grab an old .22 rifle and a big old collie dog, head out into the woods. I'd be gone, be home by dark, amen. That was it. I wouldn't do that these days. We lived in Greyhound bus for years till I burned that up and told you about that. And I went and bought my 10-year-old daughter a bicycle, folding RV person bicycle, so I could store it and gonna get her a bicycle. And amen. And I went and got it. I snuck it back out, stuck it in the car, and we were gonna give it to her. And I looked at my wife. I said, "Why did I do that?" She said, "What do you mean?" I said, "You know I'm not going to let that 10-year-old girl out of my sight on a bicycle, even in a campground. I'm not going to do that. Things are different, man. You don't let your kids go off and be gone 10 hours. Man, it's different now." Yeah. Say, "What did you do, take the bicycle back?" No, I went back in the store and I bought another one, and I brought it out, and I told her sister, that was 4 years older, I said, "If she wants to go for a ride, you're going with her, because the buddy system does work." But things are different, man. I'll tell you what. I was in a meeting in Long Island, New York, and we had somebody saved. I don't know, that kind of thing floats my boat. I was on cloud nine. We're going back to the campground, and we stop at a 7-Eleven, and we're getting ready to go in. There's some kids, young kids, 15, 16, 17-year-old, I reckon. They look like the same age as my girls at the time, and they're sitting there on the curb, and I said, "Wait a minute, and I got some tracks, and I'm going to head over there, and I'm going to give them all gospel tracks." And I went and had a kid a track, and I went, "Here, man, could I give you something to read?" And boy, he looked like he really needed it. You know, I'll leave it there. And he started to reach up his hand, and there's a little girl standing there about 15 years old, and she looked over, and she said, "What the blankety blank is that?" And it took me by surprise. I still remember it. Took me by surprise to hear that kind of language coming out of this girl's mouth. It didn't come out of a boy's mouth. Amen? I'm going to tell you what, man. Things have changed out there. I was at the airport. We were flying to England to preach. And I got to go over there and preach in some prisons and some churches over there in England and Scotland. And somebody said, sending Dave Spurgeon to England to preach to the English people is like putting whipped cream on an onion, you know. It don't even make no sense. But see, that's how God does things. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 1:29, so that no flesh of glory in his presence. I'll tell you what, I didn't win anybody with any eloquence, I'll tell you that. But we're sitting in the airport, and here's a guy sitting there. We're waiting. Here's a guy sitting there with his laptop and his cell phone and his thing in his ear and all that technological stuff, and waiting on a flight. And looked like a business professional, dressed up and everything. And we're sitting there, kind of back to back in the waiting area. And he started talking on his earpiece. His phone is connected and everything. And obviously, he's taking a business call. He's talking to his secretary. I'm going to tell you something. I was appalled at the way he talked to her. I mean, you know, listen, I'm from the street. I'm from the bad side of town. Well, how come we don't have a church on the east side yet? Could I go? I mean, I heard that. North, south, I'm going. Anybody? I'll go. No, I like it down here. Listen, I'm from the bad side of town. That ain't where I grew up. That's where I went intentionally, like an idiot. I'm going to tell you what, I want to go out there and have a little fun for a little while. It didn't take very long to get out there, but it took 15 years to get back. I'm going to tell you what, if you're playing around with sin in here tonight, let me just serve you notice right here now. It's not playing around with you.
Amen. Amen. Preaching, brother.
It's setting you up.
Amen.
Setting you up for fall. Sin's no respecter of persons. It's within arm's reach of everybody in here tonight. Sin lieth at the door, man. But I'm going to tell you what, sin lieth on both sides of that door to your house.
That's right.
If you're not careful. Amen. It says this. Let me see. Psalm 101 has got a verse. Amen. Looks pretty appropriate here. Psalm 101. David says this in verse 2. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. O, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave unto me. I'll tell you what, you better be careful about what you let into your house.
Amen.
Amen. We don't have television, but every once in a while we got my wife, she goes every week to a laundromat somewhere, and there's always a TV blaring in there, and sometimes I'm in there taking in the laundry for her. Nice of me, I don't know. And when I want the car, that's what I got to do. And it amazed me. One day I'm standing there, and there's talk shows on in the morning. Amen. And I said, do you believe this? And they, man, I tell you what, the whole subject of the whole thing, and from my understanding, this goes on every day. Some of them talk shows, they're praying. If you listen to that junk, you'll think everybody in America is a pervert or a whoremonger or a homosexual or some kind of adulterer. Man, they just feed that thing to the American people day in and day out, week in and week out. I'll tell you what, it's starting to catch on. Then people start to believe that stuff.
Yeah, that's right.
That's a minority. That's a fraction. But man, and then, here's what caught my attention one time. I don't know where I got it because I don't sit around and watch television. But at the talk shows in the morning, then the psychics advertised for about a half hour. Great. I got a thing on my phone. On my phone one time, it was a psychic line. It was late last year in the fall. And it was like, I don't know how they do that, but it says, we can tell your future, and click here, you know, and all that. And I looked at that, you know, and I thought, man, and I said, I can tell your future, and I give them the whole gospel of Jesus Christ. I said, you're going to end up in the lake of fire if you die without your sin being forgiven. You know, feel free to call me back if you have any questions. They've never bothered me again. Remember, I can tell the future, can't you? Amen. I'm going to tell you what, man. And then soap operas come on and paint some little perfect scenario that no man or woman in the world could live up to. And by the time the man gets home work at 5 o'clock and he doesn't look anything like that hunk. What a word. You know, and it's like, no wonder marriages are coming apart at the seam. We need to turn some of that junk off and turn that Bible back on.
Amen.
Sin lieth at the door, and I'll tell you what, you know, we used to preach against television, but it doesn't matter much anymore, because what people can get in front of their face on that internet with one click, it will never show up on television.
Amen. That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
That's
That thing says in verse 3 there in Psalm 101, which I already turned away from, and I'm going back though. Psalm 101 and verse number 3 said, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave unto me.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's what happens, man. When you let stuff in, it's in. Listen, I was out there so long, I got so much garbage in my head, I can't even close my eyes when I pray.
Right.
Most of the time. It amazes me the things that I don't ever think about in the course of my day until I get on my knees to pray. It's amazing the things
that
come back into my mind.
Yep.
And I'm not blaming it on the devil either. I'm just blaming it on me.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you what,
Amen.
If you're putting stuff like that in your head, you better quit it.
Amen.
And if you never have, don't
Amen.
Start.
Amen.
Take it from somebody that's been there. And I'm not the only one that's been there either.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. We're trying to help you tonight. Sin is no respecter of persons. And it definitely is a reason why a lot of guys that get saved in jail don't make it very far as in a Christian walk or experience the victories of God or the blessings of God. Amen.
Yep.
But I'm going to tell you what. We need to be careful in the day and age in which we live. Sin lies at the door of our house. Both sides, if you're not careful. We got the capability to bring the wickedness of this world right into our living room.
That's right.
I've never seen a reality show. I live one. Being in church every night is reality to me. I don't know who the Kardashians are, and I don't care. Hulk Hogan was a wrestler when I was lost. I don't know what he is now, but I don't care. Amen. All right, let me tell you something else. Sin lies at the door of church house. You can be in here, man, you can sing the songs, and you can come and pray, and you can have the best fellowship in the world, and you can walk out with your King James Bible under your arm, and if you're not careful, you won't get a block down the road before something's coming out of your stereo, or you get home and something, and I'm going to tell you what, boy, that book says Satan cometh immediately, and he doesn't waste any time. It's a sad thing. I raised 5 kids. I've had testimony young people. I'm talking about church people.
Yeah.
Church kids. I mean young adults. Now, first cigarette, first beer, first joint, first other things. Right out in the parking lot of some church, dark, unchaperoned parking lot at a camp meeting where I'm going to tell you what, man. I went to a church up in Amarillo one time, and we were new in evangelism, and I got there, and we didn't have our bus yet, motorhome, or anything. And the preacher said, okay, Brother Purgeon's here. We're glad you're here. We're your son. We got a family over there. It's got a son. We got a family over here. It's got a daughter. And we got a family over here, and we're going to. And I went, whoa. No, you're not.
Yes.
I'm not farming my kids out. I'm responsible to God for these kids.
Yes.
Hey, what are you saying? Listen, just because you claim to be a Christian doesn't automatically mean I trust you any farther than I can throw you. Not with my children.
Yeah, amen.
I'll tell you something else, man. I watch people preach their heart out and people say amen, although it's getting rarer.
Yeah.
Walk right by the preacher on the way out and shake his hand and say, good message. You know, I've had people do that to me and I've watched them the whole time I'm preaching and I know they're lying. They didn't like it one bit. They weren't even paying attention. Amen. And then walk out. And it's kind of like, and I'll tell you what, you do that kind of thing and then get in the car and before, well, nice, that was a nice message, preacher. And then before you get halfway home, you're slicing and dicing the preacher. Maybe it doesn't happen here, but I know it happens. Slicing and dicing the preacher or some Christian or somebody. And I'm going to tell you what, that book says sowing a discord among the brethren is an abomination to God. God doesn't take that thing lightly. You better be careful about that I was just kidding thing too. Am I not in sport? No. You're in sin. Amen. And I'll tell you what, it's a sad thing. Families do that. Husband and wife will sit there and criticize other Christians right after sitting in church and amen. And there's the kids in the back seat going, oh, this is real.
Amen.
That's why so many young Christian kids, when they get old enough, they head out on their own looking for something real. Listen, there's no guarantees if you do your best. There's no guarantees. Believe me, I know that firsthand experience. But I'm going to tell you what, we better be doing our best.
Amen.
Amen.
Sin lieth at the door. Saved, are you? Praise the Lord, man. I got no reason to doubt it. But we ain't home yet.
Yeah, that's right.
We are signed, sealed, and waiting to be delivered. Amen. We have not been delivered from the presence of sin. And so, within arm's reach tonight, and sin's within arm's reach, and feel it's appropriate to give you a warning. And again, just in the course of praying and asking God what to preach, guess what? I got a warning too. And then, but I got the good news for you, because some of you have been wondering if I had any. As a Savior. The Savior is within arm's reach. I mean, He was for Peter. And He's within arm's reach for everybody in here tonight. The Bible said every man is tempted. The Bible says there's no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will also with the temptation make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. And if I misquoted that, it's my fault, not the books. I don't think I did. I'm not sure. But, you know, there's a lady over there in Matthew chapter 15, and her daughter was vexed with a devil. And in the verse says this, Then came she and worshipped Him, saying, Lord, help me. That's it, man. No appointment, no counseling session, no long hour. Drawn out drama. Oh, she got in with the wrong crowd. Boy, I tell you what, the Lord knows all the details. She worshiped Him when she called Him Lord. And she said, help me. And the Bible records that He did. That's within arm's reach. If you ask me, that's pretty close. If you ask me, I like it. I'm glad I've got a God like that. Psalm 46 and verse 1 says, God is our refuge and strength. A very present help in trouble. You know what that means? No appointment necessary. No lines to wait in. Amen. We were at a restaurant yesterday and there was a line out across the front of the place. We walked to another parking lot, got in, ate, came back to that, and the people were still in line. In that way with God.
That's right.
No rush hour. Amen. He's never on vacation. I mean, He's a very present help in trouble. Well, all we got to do is have the sense Peter had, and when we begin to think, we know, we just keep waiting for things to work themselves out. Like, when did that ever happen? Listen, we need God so much more than He needs us.
Amen.
Psalm 121 says, my help cometh from the Lord. Now, if the verse stopped right there, that'd be good. That'd be true. But, you know, I think there's verses in the Bible that have extra words, don't get me wrong, that go on to say more than just the profound statement itself because of, like, people like me. You know, like, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's all well and good. That's the truth. That's a fact. Then it adds this. For hard heads, I'm sure I'm the only one in here. No man cometh unto the Father but by me.
Yeah, that's right.
I think He sticks that stuff in there for us.
That's right.
So it says, my help cometh from the Lord. And then it says, which made heaven and earth. Like, remember?
Yeah.
Like, what problem is it that you have that He can't fix, that He can't help with? You know what? In light of the fact He made the heaven and the earth. Okay, that's the God I want. That's the God I've got. That's a God that's within arm's reach.
Amen.
Let me say this to you. When the cares of this life start to get a little overwhelming, and I've got news for you, they do sometimes.
Yes,
take heart. The Lord said, I will never leave thee,
amen,
nor forsake thee.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
That helps me. When discouragement starts to set in. Yeah, and it does.
Yes, it does.
Somebody asked Brother Roloff one time, they said, Brother Roloff, is it a sin to be discouraged? He looked at him, he said, nope. It's a sin if you can't be encouraged.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you what, sometimes the cares of this life beat us down. But boy, if you just take a step back sometime and start looking at what Jesus Christ has done and what your future is going to be like, let me tell you something. Whatever you've got going on in your life, and we do have struggles, we do have problems, I'm not into some pie-in-the-sky, kumbaya foolishness. But truth of the matter is, probably 99% of the world would trade places with you right now, no matter what's going on.
Yes,
and if they had a real true concept of what where we're headed, 100% of the world would trade places with the Christian. Amen? So, amen. Jeremiah 33 says this in verse 3, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not."
Yeah,
I told a story about three young men met at Bible school, went from three different parts of the country, went to try to learn how to serve the Lord, I guess. Personally, I'm glad I got trained in my local church, but they went there, they met, and they made it 4 years. They're 2 weeks out of graduation, and it's all coming to a head now, and three of them were, like, you know, happy about going back to their home and home church and, you know, seeing what God would have them do. And one guy, he is kind of somber, and they asked him, they say, "John, what's wrong? What's wrong? You know, aren't you excited about graduating?" And he said, "Yeah." And he said, "Well, what's the matter, man? Everybody's excited but you." And he says, "Well, you know, I come from a little town, you know, in Iowa or Kansas or something, little church, and not much prospect for a mate, for a wife to serve God with at my little church. And I just thought maybe as I came down here to learn how to, you know, serve the Lord." Of course, the first thing they probably did was talk him out of his Bible. I don't know why I felt like I need to insert that, but that's what most Bible schools do. But he said, "I thought maybe I'd find a young lady, and now here the 4 years have gone by, and I'm going back to that little town, and, you know, my prospects are pretty dim, and that's kind of what's bothering me." So his friend asked him, said, "Well, John, let me ask you something. We've been here 4 years together. I never even saw you talk to a girl. Have you ever even asked one to..." He said, "Well, no." I wonder what God must think. It says, "Call unto me." You know, if you're waiting for God to show you great and mighty things, maybe you need to look up. Maybe you need to call on Him. Maybe you need to... I got no better sense. I've held Him to some of this stuff. I said, "Okay, God, look to me like the stage is set, and no help can come from anywhere else." And He said, "No problem. I've seen Him do great and mighty things. I've seen Him do over and over, like Brother Kincaid. I've seen Him do things that, well, with men, were impossible."
Right. Amen.
Amen. I like that. And let me say something else. Savior's within arm's reach tonight when the sin of this world we're in gets in.
Yeah, that's right.
And it does.
Yeah,
it does. He's within arm's reach.
Yeah,
amen. I'm going to say it again tonight. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, the burden's on you.
Yeah, amen.
He tells you what to do. He'll do what he'll... It's like James 4. Draw nigh to God, and He will. He'll keep His promise.
Yeah, that's right.
But it's your move.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen? And I'll tell you what we need to do is learn to keep short accounts.
Yes,
amen?
Yes, sir.
Amen. I'll tell you what... Peter cried out, "Lord, save me." The Bible says immediately Jesus stretched forth His hand. I get a blessing out of that. Amen? And so you got, with an arm's reach tonight, you got sin. And that's an admonition, that's a warning for everybody in here tonight. Amen? Yeah, saved. Got some spiritual, you know, notches on your belt, for lack of a better term. We're in Texas. You probably got them on your little gospel pistol. I don't know how you do it. But I'm going to tell you what. No matter what the victories have been, how many verses you know, you better keep your guard up.
Yeah, right.
I got news for you. The Savior's within arm's reach too.
Yeah, right.
Amen. And but I got something. Tell you something else within arm's reach. Oh my. Sinners.
That's right.
They're sinners. You want to do something for God? That shouldn't be too hard. Sinners are everywhere. I saw a bunch of them today. Amen. The Bible says in 1 John 5:19, the whole world lieth in wickedness.
That's right.
You know what that means? There's some on your street.
That's right.
Or road or whatever it is you live on. There's some sinners near you. Amen. There's some sinners in your family.
Amen.
I got family members that they died right now. They go to hell. Hey, they liked me when I was the drunk, when I was the drug addict, when I was the black sheep of the family. They partied a little bit. You know, they fornicated a little bit. They cussed a little bit. That boy compared to Uncle Dave. Well, we're smooth sailing, man.
Yeah.
Then Uncle Dave got saved. Jesus Christ changed my heart.
Yeah.
That part of the family hates my guts.
Yeah.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
And 22 years, and they still hate my guts.
Yeah.
Amen? And guess what? I still pray for them.
Yeah.
Amen. I remember a lady standing up, man, years and years, before I was in evangelism, which has been, how long did I say, 16 years? I was in the jail ministry, and I was at our church every prayer meeting night, and this one lady, she'd stand, good lady in our church still, and she'd request prayer for a brother, and then another family member, I mean, faithfully, she had a real burden, she wanted them to get saved, and I mean, tearfully, oh, please, church, pray for my brother Doug, and all that. And finally, the pastor said, look, Linda, you know, if you're not, she was grieved because she wasn't able to get through and said, you know, whatever reason that you're not able to get through, and rather than just sit here and be bogged down worrying about him, why don't you go try to reach somebody else's brother?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And then ask God to send somebody that can reach yours if you can't.
That's right.
Amen? There's plenty of work to do. You know, this gospel tract says, he lived life in the fast lane. And truth of the matter is, all Americans live life in the fast lane.
That's
the way that goes. But that was a term that they coined back in the 70s, and it was used widely by the motorcycle gang culture or something like that. And you know what? This world's full of people that are that eat, drink, and be merry philosophy.
Yes.
Amen. And they're on the fast lane to hell, and they don't know any better. Amen. They think they're living. I did a meeting in Los Angeles the first time I went out there in 2001. I went out there to preach, and we had a good meeting. We preached Sunday through Friday night and had some, had a couple people saved. And boy, Friday night meeting, I didn't know this pastor. I'd never been there before. They didn't know me. We just say, well, what'd you guys have in common? Blood of Jesus Christ, you know, that's all. We just got together and had a good time. God knit our hearts together. We all had the same goal, all, same intention. Try to glorify the Lord and reach some people with the gospel. And boy, we're on cloud nine and the service ended. And boy, that preacher is excited. He said, Brother Spurgeon, it's been a great week. And what do you want to do now? You know, 9 o'clock Friday night. I looked at him. I said, I'd like to, he had taken us on the tour. He had taken us to Beverly Hills, you know. He took us to where OJ killed his wife. That's a big tourist attraction. If you're a Christian, that's the spot right there. And he drove us down Sunset Strip, you know, in the afternoon. And I said, he said, what do you want to know? I said, I'd like to see Sunset Strip at midnight on a Friday night. And he looked at me like I was strange, and he's strange too. So he said, yeah, okay, cool. And we loaded our families. I had a big 15-passenger van back then, and we loaded our family. This world lives for Friday night. And this world's hanging on People Magazine and Lord knows what other publications, following all these reality stars and these Hollywood deadbeats, and they got it in their head that, boy, the work, and then the boy on the weekend, they name all these clubs, and we drove down there. We drove 20 miles from the church. We drove down there, and we went down that street, and I'm going to tell you what, in about 5 blocks, we saw literally thousands of young people standing on the sidewalk, waiting to get in. People coming out, stumbling from drinking and doing drugs and whatever goes on. And I wanted my kids to see, this is what the world says is important.
Yeah.
And it was a mess. And we had scripture on the vehicle and tried to witness and, of course, got cussed out very creatively. I mean, they really. But let me tell you something, man. Them people out there that look the Jesus Christ died for them too.
Amen.
Them people that look like they fell face first in a tackle box. You know what I'm saying? Boy, I was going to a church one night, preaching in Norfolk, Virginia, and I was really spiritual. I was up. I got 3 daughters in the back seat and my wife, and they're all practicing singing, and I'm all prepared and prayed up and driving down the highway there, and a car comes up on the right to pass, and I'm just feeling real spiritual. I'm going to emphasize that because I'm not. And I looked over, and the guy The guy driving the car, he had purple hair, man, standing up over here, and orange over here, and all these things stuck in his face. And here I am, Mr. Soul Winner. In my family, they don't even see him. They're singing about good to be redeemed. And I look over, and I look back, and I'm going to tell you what went on right there in my heart. Yuck! And I don't know how the Lord can get a spear from heaven into my heart through the windshield without breaking it. But no sooner than I said that, and I was ashamed of myself. But I'll tell you what, tears, the kids probably thought of either their singing was so good or so bad, one or the other, dad's crying. But I was begging God on behalf of that kid's soul. Boy, they need to be saved. There's all, we live in a world that they're in the fast lane, all right. Some of you guys saved out of fast lane, too. Plenty of work to do. There's sinners within arm's reach. Let me tell you something else. You spend too much time looking at that idiot box. I heard a preacher call it the glass toilet one time. Amen. Amen. And you spend too much time, you'll get the idea that all Americans are... Like I said earlier, I don't have to belabor that. Let me tell you what I found. And I've been on the road 16 years, coast to coast, man, Maine to Miami. We've been in Florida. There's three states I haven't been in yet. And most Americans, pretty good folk. I mean, I don't have sad stories. I got scripture on my motorhome, and most of the people go by, they're not doing ugly things. The ones that make any kind of reference at all are something encouragement. We preach on the street. People I hear, people say yes, and they spit on us, and they threw cans at us. And I tell you what, my experience has been coast to coast, mostly positive. Mostly positive. I mean, there's idiots. What are you saying, Brother Spurgeon? I love my country. I love my countrymen. I don't care what color they are. I don't care where they came from. My family came from Ireland. That wasn't too popular about 150 years ago either. Amen? But the truckers, I'm there at the truck stops and out there, and most of them are nice. And I'm going to tell you what, but they need the Lord. I mean, they're doing the best they can, and, you know, they're off track, and they're doing things that they shouldn't do according to the Bible. The difference between us and them is they don't know what the Bible says.
Amen.
We don't have that excuse. That book still says, "Too much is given of him, should much be required."
All right. Amen.
That's right. Amen.
Plenty of sinners out there. You got them crowd that's living life to the fullest, they think. Like after God pulled me out of.
Yeah.
Amen. Thank God he did.
Amen.
And then you got just regular folk, man, and they're everywhere. And then you got the religious crowd. I'll tell you what, a whole bunch of them need to be saved too. You know, there's churches all over America. We see them all the time, big old churches. And there's people in some of them places, and they've been taught wrong, and they got the wrong Bible, and they believe wrong, and maybe they're there, and they're happy with that, and they don't want the truth. I believe God will get the truth anybody wants them, but I also want to be careful. Because I got to be mindful of this right here. I preach in churches that, let me just put it like this. I found that Catholics, if I can say that, when Catholics get saved, they make great Christians.
Yeah.
I married one. Amen. My wife was a Catholic. Amen. I know people that what I'm saying is this. There's people in the Catholic churches out there. They're going to end up in a church like this someday because they want the truth.
Yeah, that's right.
There's people in those charismatic churches and they're all so far off doctrinally. But I know some Christians that used to be charismatic.
Yeah.
And they went through some of that stuff, but somewhere in their heart, God knew they wanted the truth and got them to the Bible and got them to the truth and got them to... You understand? There's a bunch of folks out there and we just spend all our time slicing and dicing and making big deals out of things God didn't make a big deal out of. We ain't going to reach them. And that judgment seat of Christ, it isn't who is right and who is wrong. It's what we did with what God gave us a chance to do something with. What we did in our body. Listen, within arm's reach tonight, simple message, that's the only kind I got. That's all you're going to hear from me. If you want deeper life stuff, you're going to have to get like Jack Patterson in here or something like that. But hey, who's a very dear friend of mine, by the way. You can tell him I said that, too. Won't bother me a bit. He ain't that big. Not to me. Especially from the back. He ain't that, you know. The Lord is within arm's reach for Peter, and I, you know, he's within arm's reach for you and me, too. To provide help and comfort and encouragement that only he can. Now, that's where you're going to have to go get it. But if you will, he'll keep every promise he made. I don't. I wish I could say I did, but I'd be lying. But I wouldn't be lying if I tell you this right here. The Lord never broke a promise, and he never will. Amen? He's in arm reach to get right with when you let him down. And we let him down. All right? We're not pretending to be something we're not. The flesh wins sometimes. Just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. How can it do that? I'll tell you why. Because the Lord's within arm's reach, ready to rise us up again. He'll give you a hand.
Amen?
Amen. He gave you a hand. All right? Now let me give you one more thing. I'm going to close at this, so maybe this is the closing, or I don't know what it is. But salvation is within arm's reach.
Yes, it is.
Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad he made it easy?
Yeah,
man, I didn't go to church and get saved. I didn't get overwhelmed by the love of God. Preacher came in and said, "You're going to hell, boy." He didn't say quite like that. That wouldn't have been received very well. But somebody said, "Well, you just got saved because you're afraid of going to hell." I went, "Absolutely." That worked for me. Amen. I knew I was going. If it was real, I was going. I'm glad that he's made the gift of eternal life available to whosoever shall call upon his name. Isaiah 52 says this, "The Lord hath made bare," watch this, "the Lord hath made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations." Yes. Say, who is he interested in saving? Everybody.
Yes.
"Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth," Isaiah 45. And "the Lord hath made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of the Lord." Now, where I come from, and I don't guess it's any different down here, where I come from, man rolls up his sleeve for one of two things. It said the Lord made bare his holy arm. Or man rolls up his sleeves to fight,
yes,
or to work. Now, who's he going to fight?
Yeah.
He didn't roll out. He didn't make bare his holy arm to fight.
Yeah.
That book says, "He brought me up also out of the horrible pit and out of the miry clay, and
that's
set
right.
my feet upon a rock."
Amen, brother.
"And established my going." And I'm happy to tell you tonight that the Lord is within arm's reach. If you're in here tonight and you don't know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you spend eternity in heaven, boy, I tell you what, he's in the saving business tonight.
Amen.
Say, what do I need to do? Why don't you reach up and take a hold of his hand?
Yeah, that's right.
Amen. He'll pull you out too. All right, when Peter cried out, he wasn't crying out to his buddies. He didn't say, "Hey, John, save me." Because John couldn't save him.
Amen.
And your buddies can't save you either.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. And when he cried out to the Lord there, he is admitting this. He couldn't save himself.
Yeah, that's right.
And praise the Lord, you're in church tonight. I'm glad for that. You might be the nicest person in the community, but you can't save yourself either.
That's right.
Amen? And the good news is the Lord's within arm's reach of you right now, and he'll save your soul if you'll let him. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son,"
that's right,
"that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life."
Amen.
But the antithesis is also true.
That's right.
If you don't believe in him,
that's right,
you will perish.
That's right.
Eternally. And that's not the Lord's desire tonight.
That's right.
So if you're not sure, make sure.
Yeah, that's right.
Say, "Well, I don't like you." I don't like me either. I don't like your preaching. I don't blame you. I don't know if I like your message. Well, then let us show you what the Bible says.
Amen. Right.
Just be willing to believe the Bible. I didn't like the preacher that came preach to me either.
Yeah.
Amen. This is what I look like. He looked like this. He's skinnier. Amen. Short hair. And I thought, who is this? Another cop? That's what I thought. Amen. But I'll tell you what, I was willing to believe what the Bible said. And whatever the need tonight, isn't it good to know? Isn't it good to know He's within arm's reach? Let's all stand. Let's all stand.